and welcome to the Auburn Medical Group podcast, second podcast for the month of April 2009. I'm your host, Dr. Mark Vaughn. This time what I'd like to talk about is something coming to the Auburn area soon called the Body Scan. Flyer was in the newspaper on brightly colored paper in big bold print saying, early warning, a body scan can save your life. This time we'd like to discuss if that's true or not. This is being done at a local hotel on a Saturday later in the month. And they have several packages, and they, in the different packages, offer screenings for different diseases. So I'm going to go through the list here on their brightly colored flyer, and we'll go through item by item and talk about what the evidence actually shows for each of these scans. So we start with the heart scan. These are ultrasound scans. This specifically would be one looking at the heart, and I'm assuming would include what we call Doppler flow, where you can actually see evidence of blood flow and the speed of the flow. And so the question would be, does getting a screening heart scan with an ultrasound save lives? Well, when we look at the United States Preventive Forces Task Force data that looks at just this question for various diseases and tests, the answer is no. It's just not worthwhile to, in the general population, to be doing these screenings. Now, that's not to say that this test doesn't have value in specific subgroups of patients. It certainly does, and we order them regularly. But to do it in the general population, we're not catching disease that wouldn't already be caught by another means. The next item on the list is the stroke scan. This stroke scan looks at the carotid arteries, the major arteries that feed the brain, located in the sides of the neck toward the front. And looking at the evidence, it doesn't support doing it in everybody, but there do seem to be some select groups, particularly people over the age of 40, who may benefit from findings on this scan. The data is a little bit mixed, and so there's some controversy over it, but there are people who may benefit from actually taking action based on the results of this scan, and that could either be a surgical procedure called a carotid endarterectomy. It could be a stenting, which is not done through an open procedure like the operation on the carotid artery to remove the plaque. It's done through a catheter being fed up through an artery or through a blood vessel to put a stent in place. Another treatment that's being used is a combination of aspirin and a widely advertised drug called Plavix that does seem to reduce people's risk for stroke if they have buildup on their carotid artery. So that one does look like it may have some merit, again, in specific populations. Some studies would argue against that and say that it is only valuable in people who have had some kind of symptoms of stroke or a transient ischemic attack, sometimes called a mini stroke, where they actually had the very symptoms of a stroke briefly. Again, that is an area of a little bit of controversy. Moving on to the next scan, the arm and leg scan. I could find no recommendations in the medical literature to do general screening of the blood flow with a Doppler or ultrasound device in the arms and legs. The next item is a deep leg vein scan. This would be the sort of screening ultrasound scan we would do when someone comes in with a swollen leg and we want to rule out a deep venous thrombosis or a blood clot in the deep vein of the leg. But to do that on people who don't have any swelling in their legs, aren't having pain in their legs, there's no value to looking at that. There's nothing to be gained from it. The next item is the aorta artery scan. This is probably the most valuable item on the whole list. The aortic artery, the aortic aneurysm of the abdominal aorta. The aorta is the major blood vessel that leads from the heart, takes a big turn as soon as it goes up towards the head and then goes back down into the abdomen and then splits before going down the legs. In the abdominal region, the aorta has a tendency in some people to balloon or aneurysm. These can be absolutely catastrophic and kill people because they burst or rupture and then the person bleeds out through the aortic artery. This is something that is worthwhile to find. What the recommendations give us is that this study should be done in men, not women, but men ages 65 to 75 who have smoked. In those people, this test is good at picking out people who have dilated or aneurysm arteries that should be treated. It's a disease that's found much less commonly in women. It's also significantly more prominent in people who have smoked. And again, specifically men aged 65 to 75. So that one is worthwhile in those age groups. Outside of that, you're going to have to be scanning an awful lot of people to find an aneurysm. The next item on the list is pancreas scan. This is specifically written in with the hope of finding pancreatic cancer or warning people about pancreatic cancer early so that they can do something about it. Unfortunately, there is no practical test that will tell us that a person has pancreatic cancer early enough to make a significant difference in its treatment. It's a disease that happens quickly. It is severe when it hits, and you just cannot stay on top of it fast enough with any kind of screening test to catch it in time. And so there's not a recommendation for using ultrasound or for that matter, any other test for screening for pancreatic cancer. Next item is gallbladder scan. Not significant so much for cancer as for finding gallstones, which as long as you're not having pain, we would not want to do anything to those gallstones. So again, a gallbladder scan would not be recommended for someone who's not having symptoms. Next item on the list is the liver scan, presumably to screen for liver cancer. I did find a specific recommendation on doing scanning of the liver for the purpose of detecting cancer. And you may be surprised to find that it's because of what it finds that it's not recommended to do this particular scan. The reason it's not is because, not that the test itself is harmful, but when findings occur on the scan, something needs to be done about those findings. Usually it's because there's some kind of spot, nodule, cyst, something out of the ordinary on the liver. And this is fairly common to have something show up on this scan. Common enough that you have to have several hundreds of scans to actually find a real cancer for every abnormal scan that comes up. So the problems that come up need to be evaluated. The way to do that would be a needle biopsy. Unfortunately, the track from the needle can cause problems. There have been problems of people having even ruptured lungs, having bleeding, having infection from just simply putting a needle in to do the biopsy. And then when it did turn out to be a cancer, there's this concern for something called needle track seeding, where as they pull the needle out, the cells of cancer actually get spread because they've been taken out of their encapsulated or restricted tumor, and now they're allowed to spread throughout the body. So there's a very specific recommendation not to use ultrasound as a screening tool for liver cancer. Next scan is the kidney scan, and there's just no evidence in the literature that doing screening ultrasounds on the general population, looking at their kidneys, does any good to help catch kidney cancer early or to save people's lives through that. The next one is the thyroid scan, and this one also, in reading about it, I found that there's recommendations against it specifically because, again, of what we call false positives. False positives being you actually found something on the scan, but it turns out that there's so many other things besides cancer to find that to do the follow-up test for them, you're actually hurting people more than helping them for the very rare person who may actually have a real cancer discovered with this test. Next item is the pelvis scan. They divided that into two different ones, one for men, one for women. For men, they're specifically writing that they're looking for prostate cancer. Well, we do have some screening tests for prostate cancer. Ultrasound is absolutely not the screening test for prostate cancer. In fact, the established or somewhat accepted tests for screening prostate cancer, the digital rectal exam or the finger rectal exam, and the prostate-specific antigen blood test or PSA test, they're actually a little bit controversial. And again, it's because of false positives. Just because something is found on the test does not at all mean that it's cancer. And the follow-up and potential treatment for non-aggressive cancers can be devastating to a person. And so we really don't want to treat that unless it's a real threat. We don't want to be finding something that's not cancer and acting on it as if it's so. The ultrasound certainly is not an appropriate test for that. The rectal exam and the PSA test need to be used carefully with referral to a conservative urologist if there are any findings who can follow up on the test. And most of the time, they will not do invasive testing or surgical procedures when there is a positive finding because they're able to use their discretion. They know the field. They know the findings. They know the disease, and they can treat the patient appropriately. For women on the pelvis scan, it's specifically looking for ovarian or uterine cancer or cervical cancer. We do have a great test for cervical cancer, the Pap smear. It is one of our best cancer prevention, cancer detecting tests we have for the general population, population of women, of course, cervical cancer. The uterine cancer, I could not find any recommendation to use ultrasound to look for it. Again, it was because of a problem with false positives. Ovarian cancer, the same thing. When they did studies that checked for screening for ovarian cancer with an ultrasound, they found out that there, even though it actually did discover cancer, there was no reduction in mortality, no saving of lives with the use of that test compared to people who didn't have that test. So my summary would be that I don't strongly recommend that people spend their money on this body scan. There, it's not that there's no merit to it at all. I won't say that. The stroke scan and the aorta artery scan may be beneficial in some individuals. And so for my patients who go out and have this scan done, those are the things I'm going to pay the most attention to if you hand this to me. I'm going to look at that stroke scan. I'm going to look at that aorta artery scan. Well, if you're a male age 65 to 75 who smoked anyway. Stroke scan, and we would discuss that and do some follow-up testing if something was found on those. But these are things that we're going to be finding in our office and we're going to be testing for when we look through your alerts that the computer generates anyway. And we're going to go ahead and be getting these tests for you. If you're concerned about it, please ask me. I'd be glad to go over it and go over the recommendations for regular testing. We have found through study after study that patients who have a relationship with a primary care or family practice doctor get more preventive care scans or appropriate screenings than people who don't. And so that's what our job is here at the Melbourne Medical Group, to let you know which ones would be appropriate for you to get and which ones would either be a waste of money or potentially even dangerous for you. If you have any comments, we encourage you to write to us at podcast@vaunmd.com. That's podcast at vaughanmd.com. And we'll go over those and share those with our listeners in future podcasts. As for now, thanks for listening. This is Dr. Mark Vaughn saying stay in good health.